Tim read the last words on the steel plate again. Use key card. If he had any doubt about what such a thing might be, he had only to look at the slot just below the words. He thought he even knew what a key card looked like, for he believed he had just seen it, along with a more recognizable key that might fit the F-shaped keyhole of the metal box. Two keys, and possible salvation, hanging around the neck of a tiger that could probably swallow him down in 3 bites. And since there had been no food that Tim could see in the cage, it might only take 2. This was smelling more and more like a practical joke, although only a very cruel man would find such a joke amusing. The sort of fellow who might use a bad fairy to lure a boy into a dangerous swamp, perhaps. What to do? Was there anything he could do? Tim would have liked to ask Daria, but he was terribly afraid his friend in the plate, a good fairy to match the Covenant Man's bad one, was dead, killed by Directive 19. Slowly he approached the cage, now having to lean against the wind. The tiger saw him and came padding around the hole in the middle to stand by the door of the cage. It lowered its great head and stared at him with its lambent eyes. The wind rippled its thick coat, making the stripes waver and seem to change places. The tin bucket should have rolled away in the wind, but it didn't. Like the steel box, it seemed anchored in place. The bucket he left for me back home, so I could see his lies and believe them. The whole thing had been a joke, and under this bucket he would find the point of it, that final clever line, like, "I can't fork hay with a spoon," or, "So then I turned her over and warmed the other side," that was supposed to make folks roar with laughter. But since it was the end, why not? He could use a laugh. Tim grasped the bucket and lifted it. He expected to find the Covenant Man's magic wand underneath, but no, the joke was better than that. It was another key, this one large and ornately carved. Like the Covenant Man's seeing basin and the tiger's collar, it was made of silver. A note had been attached to the key's head with a bit of twine. Across the gorge, the trees cracked and boomed. Now dust came rolling up from the chasm in giant clouds that were whipped away in ribbons like smoke. The Covenant Man's note was brief. "Greetings, brave and resourceful boy. Welcome to the North Forest Kinnock, which was once known as the Gateway of Outworld. Here I have left you a troublesome tiger. He is very hungry. But, as you may have guessed, the key to shelter hangs around his neck. As you may have also guessed, this key opens the cage. Use it if you dare. With all regards to your mother, whose new husband will visit her soon, I remain your faithful servant, RF/MB. The man, if he was a man, who had left him that note, was surprised by very little. But he might have been surprised by the smile on the boy's face as he rose to his feet with the key in his hand and booted away the tin bucket. It rose and flew off on the rising wind, which had now almost reached gale force. Its purpose had been served, and all the magic was out of it. Tim looked at the tiger. The tiger looked at Tim. It seemed completely unaware of the rising storm. Its tail swished slowly back and forth. "He thinks I'd rather be blown away or die of the cold rather than face your claws and teeth. Perhaps he didn't see this." Tim drew the foreshot from his belt. "It did for the fish thing in the swamp, and I'm sure it would do for you, Psy Tiger." Tim was once more amazed by how right the gun felt. Its function was so simple, so clear. All it wanted to do was shoot, and when Tim held it, shooting was all he wanted to do. But, "Oh, he saw it," Tim said, and smiled more widely. He could hardly feel the corners of his mouth drawing up because the skin of his face had begun to grow numb from the cold. "Yar, he saw it very well. Did he think I would get so far as this? Perhaps not. Did he think that if I did, I'd shoot you to live? Why not? He would. But why send a boy? Why, when he's probably hung 1,000 men and cut 100 throats and turned who knows how many poor widows like my mama out on the land? Can you answer that, Sigh Tiger? The tiger only stared, head lowered and tail swishing slowly from side to side. Tim put the foreshot back into his belt with one hand. With the other, he slid the ornate silver key into the lock on the cage's curved door. Sigh Tiger, I offer a bargain. Let me use the key around your neck to open yon shelter, and we'll both live. But if you tear me to shreds, we'll both die. Does thee ken it? Give me a sign if thee does. The tiger gave no sign. It only stared at him. Tim really hadn't expected one, and perhaps he didn't need one. There would be water if God willed it. I love you, Mama, he said, and turned the key. There was a thud as the ancient tumblers turned. Tim grasped the door and pulled it open on hinges that uttered a thin screaming sound. Then he stood back with his hands at his sides. For a moment, the tiger stood where it was, as if suspicious. Then it padded out of the cage. He and Tim regarded each other beneath the deepening purple sky while the wind howled and the marching explosions neared. They regarded each other like gunslingers. The tiger began to walk forward. Tim took one step back, but understood if he took another, his nerve would break and he would take to his heels. So he stood where he was. Come thee, here is Tim, son of Big Jack Ross. Instead of tearing out Tim's throat, the tiger sat down and raised its head to expose its collar and the keys that hung from it.